How do you do? This is Robert Anthony Dean inviting you to your Playhouse of Favorites. Our favorite story for today is The Hunchback of Notre Dame, written by Victor Hugo. The works of this great French author are among the classics of all time, and the story we're about to bring you, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, is considered one of his most unforgettable. From its place on the shelf of immortal classics, we take down now the first volume of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, written by Victor Hugo and starring John Carradine. Straight up from the streets of Paris, its Gothic steeples and pinnacles thrusting up to the sky in dizzy heights, stands the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Its very vastness strikes terror into the heart of the spectator, and strong men have wept at the sight of it, with its gargoyles, its statuary, its stained glass windows, its massive and mysterious lines. It's the very symphony of stones. Through the centuries it stood in tranquil grandeur and will stand for many more. This is the Cathedral of Notre Dame, the heart and soul of our story. Time is some 5 centuries ago, in the year 1467. The place, Paris. Through a side entrance of the Cathedral of Notre Dame walk two old women bent on prayer and devotion. But just as they're about to enter through the massive door, they pause.
Ah, yes, look.
Why, it is a basket in the corner of the portrait.
Aye, and it holds a foundling child, no doubt. It was customary to leave them here, facing the great image of St. Christophe. But come, Agnes, let us lift the cover and look upon this child. Mother of heaven!
Jeanne, can it be human?
Yes, it is human, Agnes. That we cannot deny. But never have I seen such ugliness.
Ooh, it is a very miracle of ugliness, this little one.
And yes, wait, here comes a monk.
Aye, and a strange and dark-looking man he is.
Why are you two women gathered here?
We have just come upon this child, Father.
We believe it to be born of a sorceress.
Only the devil himself could conjure such ugliness.
True, never have I looked upon such a child.
It were better dead, I think, than to grow up and endure the gaze of the world. Come, we'll bring it to the foundling hospital.
Stay, woman. Let the child be.
But, good Father, we cannot leave it here.
No, it is ugly, but we are Christians. We cannot let it starve.
From this time forth, O women, you can rest in peace. For I, Claude Frollo, now make a sacred vow.
A vow?
What vow?
To adopt this child and bring it up and protect it through life.
Years went by, Frollo became known as the Goblin Monk. He named the child Quasimodo, and it grew up into a kind of horrible monster, a hunchback with the strength of a giant. Quasimodo was almost divine in his ugliness. He had a tetrahedron nose, a horseshoe mouth, only one eye. His eyebrows were carroty bristles, his chin forked, and over his horny lips, two jagged teeth protruded like the tusks of an elephant. His immense feet twisted outward. His ape-like arms almost touched the ground as they swung loosely from grotesque shoulders. Those who looked upon him shrank in terror and revulsion, cried aloud in hate for him, lusted to kill him. And on Quasimodo's 20th birthday, Frollo, the goblin monk, came to a decision.
Hear me, Quasimodo. Listen well.
Yes, master.
It is not safe for you to venture into the streets of Paris too often. The people will kill you. They'll tear you apart and throw you to the dogs.
Master, I have done nothing, nothing. I am your devoted slave. But the ugly...
True, Quasimodo. But the ugliness you were born with is unbearable to many.
Ah, yes. This I know. This I know. But, Master, follow. If I cannot go into the streets, where can I live? Where can I hide?
From this time on, the Cathedral of Notre Dame shall be your home.
Notre Dame?
Yes. Here you will be hidden from the public gaze. Here, Quasimodo, you will find sanctuary and be safe.
Master! Oh, Master! I kiss your hand in gratitude. I get on my knees before you. You are so good to Quasimodo, so good.
Come, Quasimodo, rise and listen further. I have given you a task in the cathedral to occupy your time.
Yes, Master.
You have the strength of a giant and the agility of a monkey. In the work you're about to do, these are virtues. For you shall be the bell ringer of this noble cathedral.
I, Quasimodo, the bell ringer of Notre Dame, high in the steeples, close to heaven, ringing the bell.
Yes, Quasimodo.
Oh, Master, Master, what can I say? See, I weep for your goodness and charity.
Next to the goblin monk Frollo, Quasimodo came to love the bells best. Parisians saw his dwarf-like figure 200 feet above the street, climbing all over the bells, riding on their swinging clappers, bouncing up and down on the bell rope. Yes, Quasimodo loved the great bells of Notre Dame. They filled him with ecstatic frenzy. He loved and caressed them. He understood them. He even talked to them and gave them names.
Ring the bell! Ring! Pour a flood of music to Paris! You people! Move! Are you rusty, lazy bones? And you, Big Mary, peel out! Peel out! What use to have these brazen mouths if you yawn and don't sing? Ah, my precious one, that is better. Work away! Higher and higher! Louder and louder! Wake every Lagos and David and Thomas. Ring out! Ring out!
Thus Quasimodo spoke to the bells. Then one night, during the Feast of the Fools, he and his master, Frollo, both saw a lovely young gypsy girl, Esmeralda, dance before a great bonfire. The goblin monk, now an archdeacon by rank, stared at her and suddenly felt the madness of love. He fought his love for the gypsy girl, but it was like fire within him, a fire beyond his power to quench. And finally, he sought her out and told her of his love. But Esmeralda could not return the feeling.
This cannot be. I have no feeling for you.
Take pity on me, Esmeralda. Only love me a little. Give me hope. Consider me.
I must speak only what is in my heart. I cannot love you.
Mercy, Esmeralda. Do not faint. Relent and pity me. A single word of affection, I beg you.
I do not love you and I do not hate you. This is the truth before heaven.
Very well, then. There are ways to make you change your tune.
Ways? What ways?
I'm a powerful man in Paris and have much influence. I might have you condemned and pilloried as a sorceress.
Oh, but you wouldn't.
You do not know me, Esmeralda. For you, I would kill and torture. And I would rather see you dead than know you live. And not have you.
Even as Frollo was smitten, so was his twisted slave, Quasimodo. When he looked upon her with his one good eye, his ugly face became softer, less revolting, lighted by the inner glow of his soul. He began to follow her around the streets of Paris, unmindful of the risk, never speaking, content just to look at her. And finally, Esmeralda, noticing the hunchback in the shadow wherever she went, turned on him.
Why do you follow me, ugly dwarf?
You are very beautiful. Yes, very beautiful.
Answer me. Why do you haunt me, monster?
I follow you because I cannot help it. You are as beautiful as I am ugly.
Go away, Quasimodo. Go away, horrible angel.
Only let me near you, Esmeralda. Only let me see you smile. Oh, if I could but touch you.
No, don't come near me. Keep your distance. Oh,
I mean no harm, beautiful one. I would not hurt a hair of your head.
Don't come near me. Help! Help! Save me from this monster!
What?
It's that ape, Quasimodo.
It's a hunchback. It's a hunchback. Kill him. Kill him. Yes. Kill him.
Make way for the King's Lagoon. It's Captain Beavis and he's mad.
Run! Run before they slaughter us!
Disperse! Disperse, you rabble!
What is it, mademoiselle? Captain Phoebus de Chateaupreur at your service.
This ugly monster. This dwarf, he was about to seize me.
Ah, indeed?
No, Captain, no. I meant no harm. I swear it. I was carried away by her beauty.
Sergeant. Yes, Captain. Commander, detail the men and take this animal to the prison. I'll attend to the lady myself. Yes, sir. Come along, you ugly reptile.
Amiel, help me. This hunchback is the strength of 10 men. Come along, baboon, or we'll put a pike in your gizzard.
Esmeralda, I meant no harm. I swear it. I swear it.
Well, mademoiselle, so your name is Esmeralda.
Yes, Captain.
And a very pretty name, I must say.
Oh, thank you. How can I express my gratitude to you? My favor.
It was nothing, nothing. For a vision of loveliness like you, no ordeal would be too heavy, no challenge too great.
In the week that followed, Esmeralda fell violently in love with Captain Phoebus. Meanwhile, Quasimodo was brought before the court in the Palace of Justice and sentenced to 1 hour of flogging and 1 hour in the pillory. He was beaten in the courtyard in front of Notre Dame, and the rabble jeered him, stoned him as he was held in the pillory. His master, Frollo, watched, and then turned away, and Quasimodo wept.
Water, water, in the name of heaven, give me water.
Let him die, thirsty water.
Look, the gypsy girl, that's Esmeralda. She has a gourd of water.
He's going to the monster on the pillory.
Here, Quasimodo. You have suffered enough. Here is water.
Esmeralda. Angel of mercy, I shall worship you for the rest of my life.
Finally, the hunchback, more dead than alive, was released from pillory, and with Esmeralda helping him, crept back to the sanctuary of the cathedral. But neither he nor the gypsy girl noticed a pair of burning eyes staring at them in the crowd. The eyes of Claude Frollo, the goblin monk of Notre Dame. So the curtain falls on Act One of The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo. A presentation of your Playhouse of Favorites. Now back to the story of the first volume of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites and starring John Carradine. As you remember, Frollo, the goblin monk of Paris, adopts Quasimodo, the ugly hunchback, and makes him bell ringer of Notre Dame. Frollo falls in love with Esmeralda, a lovely gypsy girl, but she rejects him. The hunchback, Quasimodo, is overpowered by her beauty and follows her wherever she goes. Esmeralda finally calls for help and is saved by Captain Phoebus, with whom she falls in love. Meanwhile, Quasimodo, sentenced to the pillory and dying of thirst, is given water by a repentant Esmeralda, as Frollo watches them with burning eyes. And now, on with the story. The following day, Frollo called Quasimodo into his private chamber, high in a tower of the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Quasimodo, this gypsy girl Esmeralda haunts me. I cannot escape her. She's with me in my dreams.
Oh, Esmeralda, a lovely vision, Master, an angel.
You take an interest in her, Quasimodo?
Master, no. She's nothing in me. She gave me a drink of water at the pillory.
Ugly fool, I'm not worried about you. It is this captain of the King's Dragoons, Phoebus de Chateaupeur. She's in love with this pompous dandy.
Oh, only give me the word, Master. Give me the word, and I will tear him apart for you and trample on his remains.
No, no, Quasimodo. I shall deal with the captain myself. But I want you to watch him and report to me his every action.
Oh, depend on me, Master. I shall follow him in the darkness of his own shadow.
A few nights later, Captain Phoebus was having an aperitif in the tavern. The door opened, and a hooded figure, the goblin monk of Paris, came in, walked straight to the soldier.
Captain Phoebus de Chateaupeur.
What? Oh, you know my name?
Not only your name, but the fact that you have a meeting tonight with a girl named Esmeralda.
I have.
You have? At Folladero's at the Pont Saint-Michel.
But I thought only the devil himself knew. Perhaps you are he.
My name is Frollo, and I forbid you to see this gypsy girl.
Oh, you forbid me, eh, monk? And what is your interest in this matter?
I love her, and I know that you trifle with her affections.
Fire and fury. What a long nose you have, my black monk. I've a mind to cut it off.
You trifle with her affections, do you hear? You're a profligate and a wastrel.
Enough, monk. You say words which a Chateaupeur cannot stomach. Come, here's my sword, waiting for your vitals.
Come now, Captain Peters. Perhaps I was a little too hasty. Violence ill becomes a man of the cloth like myself.
You almost spoke yourself into perdition, monk.
I apologize. Love makes a man do strange things. Come, drink with me. Then go to Esmeralda. A girl as lovely as she should not be kept waiting.
The captain was mollified by the goblin monk's apology. He drank with Frollo and then swaggered off to meet Esmeralda. The gypsy girl was waiting for him, and there was love in her eyes.
Phoebus, tell me, do you love me? Tell me the truth.
Do I love the angel of my life? What kind of question is this? I love you. I never loved any but you.
If you but love me, I shall be proud and happy. Phoebus.
Yes, my dear.
Promise me one thing.
Anything.
When I am grown old and ugly, Phoebus, when I shall be no longer fit for you to love, then let me be your servant. Let me clean your boots and spurs and brush your uniform. Let me be your slave. Only let me be near you.
Esmeralda, you make me feel humble. Such devotion doesn't come to many men in a lifetime. Who the devil let you through the door?
Frollo, you here?
Yes, Esmeralda. I followed this man here.
So, my goblin monk, I should have slit your throat after all.
Esmeralda, I beg of you, do not listen to the blandishments of this hypocrite. He spins sweet words but false.
Why now? This is insolence that soon must be corrected.
Esmeralda, you love this man.
With all my heart. And if you must know, I hate you and the sight of you.
But this strutting popinjay is not worthy of...
Phoebus, he has a knife. Look out!
You murdering man! Black assassin! Die and be cursed!
You killed him! You killed him.
Why? And good riddance. Good riddance.
Esmeralda fainted, her body slumping over that of her lover. The goblin monk put the knife in her hand and slipped away into the night. When she awoke, Captain Phoebus was being carried away, and she was surrounded by soldiers. She was tried, imprisoned, sentenced to die on the gallows. And high in the bell tower of Notre Dame, an ugly, twisted madman raced from one bell rope to another, his one eye glaring, foam frothing at his lips.
Hey, Big Mary, we all stay, little Zephyr. Cry out from your brand pot, for justice has been done. May they rot on their gallows, the fiends. They shall not hang you. They shall not hang her. You hear me, Brianna Thibault? They shall not hang her.
From her solitary cell, Esmeralda could see through the barred window the silent gallows waiting for her. She could hear, too, the bells of Notre Dame, which rang incessantly. But nothing could affect her now. She was calm, resigned, ready to die. And then as she waited, a key turned in the lock of her cell door.
You have a visitor, gypsy girl.
Swallow. You.
Yes. I had to come, Esmeralda.
So the executioner comes to jeer the condemned.
Esmeralda, listen to
what
me.
What have I done to you, wretch? Why do you hate me thus? Why do you torture me? Why have you come here?
Because I love you.
Oh, you are mad.
Esmeralda, listen. There's still time. I can save you from the gallows if you'll only try to return my affection. Give me a little hope.
You who murdered Phoebus ask me this?
Esmeralda, hear me. Phoebus is not dead. He lives.
He's alive.
Sorely wounded, but alive. Only swear an oath never to see him again. Swear to be kind to me. And I shall arrange your release.
Go, fiend. Leave me to die. You shall walk with my avenging ghost every minute of your life.
Rollo left the cell, and the next day a great rabble gathered in the square in front of Notre Dame to witness the hanging of the gypsy girl. But just as the hangman was about to place the noose around Esmeralda's neck, the crowd heard a piercing cry from the cathedral. They saw a grotesque figure slide down on a long rope, run toward the gallows.
Look! It is the hunchback, Quasimodo!
He's flung the hangman from the scaffold. He sees the gypsy girl.
Now he races for the cathedral, carrying her under his arm. Listen to the hunchback. He cries sanctuary.
Certainly. Once in the cathedral, the soldiers do not dare follow him.
Ah, he approaches the door, and the soldiers after him. Run, Quasimodo, run!
Run for your life, monster! He has entered the cathedral with the gypsy girl. See, the soldiers, stop!
The hunchback has saved their life.
So Quasimodo, with Esmeralda, unconscious from the ordeal, disappeared into the sanctuary of Notre Dame. The great door slammed shut, and the hangman's noose remained empty. And finally, the hunchback placed the unconscious girl on a bed of straw in the bell tower and spoke to her in words marvelously soft.
Stay here with me forever, Esmeralda, my angel. Here in the cathedral of Notre Dame, you shall be safe, and I, Quasimodo, I shall serve you as your faithful slave. just as I serve Thalo. For you and he are the only two beings I love in all the world. But come, angel of loveliness, awake. Awake to the sound of the bell.
The curtain falls on the first part of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, starring John Carradine and presented by your Playhouse of Favorites. Your Playhouse of Favorites. How do you do? This is Robert Anthony Dean inviting you to your Playhouse of Favorites. Our favorite story for today is the second volume of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, written by Victor Hugo. A master of characterization as well as plot, this famous French author's novels have come down through the years with undimmed popularity. And one of the most popular is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. From its place on the shelf of immortal classics, we take down now the second volume of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, written by Victor Hugo and starring John Carradine. Straight up from the streets of Paris, its Gothic steeples and pinnacles thrusting up to the sky in dizzy heights, stands the Cathedral of Notre Dame. This is the heart and soul of our story, for here, behind its massive walls, Quasimodo, the monstrous hunchback who is its bell ringer, has given shelter to a lovely gypsy girl, Esmeralda. Esmeralda has spurned the hunchback's master, Frollo, in favor of Captain Phoebus of the King's Dragoons. In a jealous rage, Frollo had tried to kill Captain Phoebus, and Esmeralda had been sentenced to the gallows for the crime, despite the fact that Phoebus had recovered from his wounds. But at the last moment, Quasimodo had rescued her from the noose and brought her into the sanctuary of the cathedral. Quasimodo turned over his own little room to the gypsy girl. He brought her his own dinner of bread and wine and gave her his own blanket. She looked up at him from her pallet of straw and tried to thank him, but could not. His ugliness revolted and frightened her. Then finally, the hunchback spoke.
Don't be frightened. I am your friend. I seem to you like some awful beast, eh? And you are a sunbeam. A drop of dew, the song of a bird. Esmeralda, I see you turn your eyes away. You cannot look at me, and I do not blame you. I am something hideous, neither man nor beast. Well, I beg of you this, and believe me, I am your friend and protector.
Why did you risk your life for me? Why did you save me from the hangman's noose?
When I was on the pillory and dying of thirst, you and only you came to help me. You gave me a draught of water and a look of pity. And these are more than I can repay with my life.
Oh, for a moment I thought your master Frollo ordered you to do this.
Oh, my master? No, he knows nothing of this.
Quasimodo, it is your master who sent me to the hangman.
My master? Oh, Esmeralda.
You are wrong. He is a good and gentle man.
I know he is hateful and spiteful. He will find me here and then...
To think that the only two people I love in the world repel each other.
Poor fellow. Poor Quasimodo. How can you serve two masters, the goblin monk and I?
Because I love you both. And now, Esmeralda, listen to me and listen well.
Yes, Quasimodo.
In the daytime, you shall stay in this room. In the night, you may walk about the church, but stir not a step outside of it, by night or day, or they will kill you, and me also.
I will do as you say.
Good. And now, remember this. This cathedral has very high towers, and a plunge from them means sure death.
Quasimodo, I do not understand. What?
You have only to call me, and I will come. And when you wish to be rid of me, tell me to throw myself from the highest spire. And this I will do.
Quasimodo, are you going now?
Yes. I must not stay too long. You must never look upon ugliness such as mine too long. I will seek some place where I can look at you without your seeing me. And now, good night, beautiful angel.
Esmeralda fell to a deep sleep. When the morning light filtered through the stained glass windows of Notre Dame, she awoke to see Quasimodo peering at her through the partially opened door. For a moment, she forgot where she was. But at the sight of the hunchback's hideous face, she screamed.
Oh, please. Please don't be frightened. Please.
How long have you been standing there?
Only a few minutes. I came to see you sleep. What harm can I do to you if your eyes are shut and you cannot see me?
Quasimodo, forgive me. I am sorry.
I'll hide behind the door here. There. Now you cannot see me, but I can see you through this small aperture. Now you can open your eyes without looking upon my ugliness.
No, Quasimodo. Come into the room where I can see you.
You mean you want me to enter?
Yes. Yes, come in. I wish to look upon your face.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, Esmeralda. You are an angel. You are the first human being who has ever shown me such kindness.
Your ugliness is only on the outside, Quasimodo. But inside you have the goodness of a saint.
Oh, when have I ever been so happy?
Come, Quasimodo. Arise from your knees. There is something I must ask. Last night, you said I had only to call if I needed you, and you would come.
I am here. Tell me what you wish me to do.
Do you remember Captain Phoebus of the King's Dragoons?
Yes.
Bring him here to me.
You want him brought here to the cathedral? But why?
He is the man I love.
Oh.
Oh, Quasimodo, you hesitate. Perhaps I have asked too great a service of you.
No, no. No service can be too great if you want it. I will bring Captain Phoebus to you tonight.
That night, Quasimodo followed the handsome captain to the Gondolier mansion. There, as he peered through the windows, he saw Phoebus paying court to a young lady of high station. The hunchback waited in the shadow of the porch. And finally, the captain came out and mounted his horse. And at that moment, Quasimodo leaped from the shadow,
snatched the horse's bridle.
Oh, Captain Phoebus, wait.
What the devil is this, Barlet? What do you want with me?
Follow me. There is one who would speak with you.
By me, Holmes, Horns. I think I've seen your ugly face before. Loose the bridle, you hear, dwarf? Let go, I say. You take my horse for a gallows that you hang on him so?
Oh, Captain, it is a beautiful woman who wants to see you. A woman who loves you.
Well, you're a rare varlet to suppose that I'm obliged to go to all the women who love me. Oh, say they do.
Nevertheless, you will come with me.
What? You order me about, monstrous ape?
But tis the gypsy girl, Esmeralda, who wishes to see you.
Esmeralda, by my scabbard, she's given me enough trouble as it is. Tell her that she may go to the devil.
Then you do not want to see her?
A pox on her. She's responsible for my newly healed dagger wounds made by that goblin monk Frollo. Tell her I'm going to be married.
You are to be married?
Aye, to Mademoiselle Fleur de Lys, a fine lady with a good dowry. And now, dwarf, release my bridle before I give you a taste of this whip. Come, let it go.
Oh, what a fool he is. What a fool. To spurn the love of an angel like Esmeralda.
Thus spoke Quasimodo. But in his heart of hearts, he was glad. For now Esmeralda would be alone, and he could remain near her and serve her. But then he thought of Esmeralda's sadness when she heard of the captain's forthcoming marriage. And as the hunchback knocked on the gypsy girl's chamber door, he resolved to spare her the pain of this knowledge.
Who is it?
Quasimodo.
Oh, come in. Oh, Quasimodo, you have brought the captain with you. Oh, you are alone. Alone.
I could not find him.
Oh, you should have looked for him all day. You should have looked in every corner of Paris.
I will try again, Esmeralda.
Oh, Quasimodo, Quasimodo, what shall I do? I cannot live without Phoebus. Every minute without him is a year. Every breath without him an effort.
He is not worthy of you, beautiful angel. He is not worth your little finger. Believe me, no man alive is worth your smile.
Why should I seek him? If he loved me, he would come to me. He saw you carry me into the cathedral here. He knows where I am.
See, Esmeralda, your captain does not come, but I am here.
Frollo, you?
Yes, I saw my slave help you cheat the gallows. Now a day has passed, and I must pay my respects.
Master, I...
Go, Quasimodo. What, you stand there? Do you not understand your master's command? Go!
Yes, master. I heed your commands.
Esmeralda, listen to me.
Murderer. Monster. I hate you. To me, you're uglier than Quasimodo.
If you only knew, if you could only comprehend how much I love you. It is fire. It is molten lead. It is a thousand daggers in my heart.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me or I'll scratch your eyes out.
Strike me if you will. Heap indignities upon me, insult me, but for mercy's sake, love me.
It is Captain Phoebus that I love.
Phoebus! What a jest, what mockery. Have you not heard, Esmeralda?
Heard? Heard what?
He is to marry Mademoiselle Fleur de Lys on Wednesday next.
No! No, you lie! You lie!
By my sacred oath, I do not. Look into my eyes. You will see there the truth.
Yes. Yes, I see it. Oh, Phoebus. Phoebus, what have you done to me?
And high in the bell tower of Notre Dame, Quasimodo the hunchback rang his bells. He did not know that a great crowd of gypsies in Paris had planned to break the sanctuary of Notre Dame and rescue Esmeralda. He rang his bells and understood them, and he spoke to them.
Ho, Big Mary! Ho, ho, the bell! Ring!
Come, little Patsy. Such a large dog. Must bring a pulse. Louder and louder for joy. We will stay with us here in the cathedral. She will never go away from it. From you, my children, and from me. Wait. What is it? Why does the crowd gather in front of the cathedral? Gabriel, oh, my children, they mean her harm. See, they try to batter the door down. They will hang her if they catch her, but they never will. No, they never will. Not as long as I'm alive.
The curtain falls on Act One of The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo, a presentation of your Playhouse of Favorites. And now back to the story of the second volume of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites and starring John Carradine. As you remember, Quasimodo has saved Esmeralda from a hangman's noose and given her sanctuary in the Cathedral of Notre Dame. But the man the gypsy girl loved, Captain Phoebus of the King's Dragoons, had forsaken her and planned to marry another. Thus, Frollo, the goblin monk, had new hopes toward Esmeralda, but once again she rejected him. Meanwhile, the gypsies in Paris resolved to break the sanctuary of Notre Dame and rescue Esmeralda. But Quasimodo mistook their motives and swore to protect her from what he thought was an avenging mob. As the mob struck at the massive doors of the cathedral with a battering ram, Quasimodo raced to Esmeralda's room.
Esmeralda!
Quasimodo, what is it? What is it, that noise?
They are breaking the sanctity of Notre Dame. Oh, the rabble! They are desecrating the sanctity of this holy place.
But what do they want?
You, my angel, they come for you.
I?
Yes, but they will never get you. Not while Quasimodo lives. Now listen, Esmeralda, for your life.
Yes, Quasimodo. I am in your hands.
Bolt this door and stay here. Let no one in. No one. But if the door is forced open, then you will know it will be the end. For my dead body will lie across it.
Hunchback raced back to the parapet of the highest tower. Now he was a mad giant, and there was a fierce glare in his eye. He tore a heavy beam from a wall, lifted it with incredible strength, flung it down upon the crowd.
Down! Down! Strike and kill! You'll never get Esmeralda! You hear? Come, try these heavy stones. Make me crack a few of your heads, you hound! Over the side. Here's one. And another. And another.
Again and again, the angry crowd rushed the door of Notre Dame with a battering ram. Again and again, Quasimodo, with the strength of 10-20 men, hurled down statues, stones, gargoyles, beams like a madman. For 2 hours he held them at bay. And meanwhile, Esmeralda, the gypsy girl, cowered in her chamber. And finally, there was a knock at her door.
Pierre!
Fear nothing. It is I, Pierre Gringoire.
Pierre Gringoire? I do not know you. How did you get into the cathedral?
Through a secret entrance. But open the door, Esmeralda. There's little time to lose.
No. No, I cannot. What do you want? Why are you here?
For the love of heaven, girl, do not delay. I come from Captain Phoebus.
Captain Phoebus?
Aye. He's renounced his engagement and waits for you by the river. He has a skiff waiting. And together you will flee Paris.
Captain Phoebus? Oh, then he does love me after all.
As much as any man can love a woman, but hurry and bolt the door.
Yes, yes.
Marcel, at last. Come, come this way. Listen to the crowd batter the door.
But, Monsieur Grandeur, what of Quasimodo?
He still holds off the mob. It'll only be a matter of minutes now. They'll tear that ugly hunchback apart like a pack of wolves.
Poor Quasimodo.
Ah, waste no tears on that animal. He's already taken 100 lives. But here, mademoiselle, throw this cloak over you. Anyone recognizes you, we're both lost.
Gringoire led the gypsy girl through a maze of passageways, and finally through a secret door at the side of the cathedral. And finally they made their way to a place on the river's edge. Here a dark figure stood waiting by a skiff, and gladly Esmeralda ran forward.
Phoebus! Oh, Phoebus, my dear!
So you still love him, then?
Follow you?
Yes, Esmeralda.
Then it was all a trick. This man, Gringoire...
is my trusted friend. I instructed him in the secret entrance and gave him the key. Esmeralda, why do you look at me like that? You're safe now, don't you understand? Safe.
If I had known, I would rather have died back there in the cathedral.
I see the hate in your eyes and my blood runs cold. Were you to see me die, you would laugh.
No, I would weep, but for joy.
You stabbed the knife deep, Esmeralda. But this is the last wound I will take. Now you must make a choice.
A choice? What choice?
Either the gallows or me. Choose, girl. Well, the gallows or me.
I will choose the gallows, Frollo. For I feel less horror of the hangman's noose than I do of you.
Back at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, the door was already splintering under the battering ram despite every effort Quasimodo could bring forth. But then, suddenly, a troop of the king's horsemen dashed madly upon the scene. They ran the crowd down, slashed at it with their swords until the rabble broke and ran screaming. With that, Quasimodo hurried to Esmeralda's room, only to find it empty. Then, almost mad with worry and anxiety, he raced back on the tower parapet. There he saw Esmeralda far below. Two soldiers were dragging her to the gallows in the center of the square. And the place seethed with the king's men.
Esmeralda, the gypsy girl!
Death to the gypsy girl!
Death to the sorcerer!
The murderer! For the hang!
No, no! She's innocent! She's innocent! Do you hear me? She's done nothing, nothing! Oh, Esmeralda. Esmeralda, why did you leave? I could have protected you here, but now...
Quasimodo! Quasimodo!
Oh, my master comes. He will save her. He has authority, power. Master, they are about to hang her. Save her, save her!
You asked me to save her, Quasimodo. Me. It was I who gave her to the king's men.
You... did this?
Yes. And now I've come up here to the parapet with you to feast my eyes on the fiend. Look, Quasimodo. Look. They're dragging her up to the scaffold now.
You sent her to the gallows? You, master?
Why not? Why not? She chose the gallows herself instead of me. Look, Quasimodo. The hangman has placed the noose around her neck. See, she turns her eyes to heaven for a last prayer.
She is looking up here. Oh, Esmeralda. Esmeralda. Angel of sweetness, of gentleness, of beauty.
I cannot bear to look.
Now, the rope is taut, Quasimodo. See. Look. She dangles in midair. Her body twitches and now it is still, Quasimodo. Still. It is all over. She had but loved me.
Quasimodo.
What are you going to do? Why do you come toward me?
You killed her. You killed her.
Back, slave, back. You dare to touch me? Me, fellow who saved you from a foundling home? Who protected you from the rabble? I am your master. Quasimodo! No! No, mercy, mercy!
The man who falls from this parapet dies instantly. And you killed her, master.
Quasimodo, for the love of heaven, no!
Let me lift you high, master.
You
fight yourself! And now when you fall, you will fall at her feet and die there.
No! No! No!
The body of Frollo, the goblin monk, plummeted to the pavement in front of the gallows where Esmeralda hanged. For a moment, Quasimodo the hunchback stared down, as immobile as a stone gargoyle, a look of ineffable sadness on his face, his one eye wet with tears. Then, with dragging steps, he went to his beloved bell and began the refrain.
Ring, Mary. Guillaume. Gabriel. Ring out the funeral dirge. Weep, little pastor, my dear. For the only two I ever loved in this world are dead. Weep, my children. Weep as I, your father, cry now. Oh, this is my last night with you. This is my last night here at my beloved cathedral. With you, my children, mourn for me. Mourn a last requiem for your Quasimodo. Goodbye. Goodbye.
The curtain falls on the second part of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, starring John Carradine and presented by your Playhouse of Favorites.